Parivadacharya Ashtotara sir, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai, Ramacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Shri Gadadha, Shri Vasadhi, Gaur Bhakta Vrind ki jai, Shri Radha Krishna, Gop Gopinath, Shamakun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan ki jai, Srimad-Bhagavatam ki All glory to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glory to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glory to the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glory is all glory to the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gaura Hari. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Narayanam namaskritya naram seva narutamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayat nidhiraye nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati nashti
Hare Krishna. So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 59, Verses 23 to 26. So we are going to do 23 to 25 together, and 26 we'll do responsibly. We'll just do the Sanskrit first. This is Brahma Samhita. Meter. Okay. You can sing together.
Krishnambhupatya Pundale. Praptapta jambu nadaratna bhasvare Savajam kaya vanamaya paya Pracheta samchatramato mahamani
Verse 24
Ashtasidatha vishvesam Devi deva varachitam Pranjali pranatarajan Bhakti pravanaya bhiya Bhumi Ruvacha Namaste Deva Devesham Shankha Chakra Gadadhara Bhakti Chopata Rupaya Paramatma Namostute
Verse 26 We'll do word for word. We'll do word for word first. Because we're going to do this responsibly.
Namaha Namaha
All respectful obeisances.
Pankajanabhaya.
Unto the Lord, who has a specific depression resembling a lotus flower in the center of his abdomen.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Pankajamalini.
One who is always decorated with a garland of lotus flowers.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Pankaja Netraya.
One whose glance is as cooling as a lotus flower.
Namahate.
Respectful obeisances unto you.
Pankaja Angraye,
unto you, the soles of whose feet are engraved with lotus flowers, and who are therefore said to possess lotus feet.
Namaha Pankaja Nabhaya. Namaha Pankaja Malini. Namaha Pankaja Netraya. Namaste Pankajangrahe. Namaha Pankaja Nabhaya.
नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रहे नमः पंकजनाभाय 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 नमः पंकजमालिने नमः पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रहे As many of you must have recognized, this is a very famous prayer by Queen Kunti. And it's also been sung by one very nice devotee, Karnamrita. And when I first saw that I had this verse, I immediately thought of the song which I've heard for years. So I thought I'll just play that prayer which she has sung so beautifully. So beautiful, so I thought I would share it with you all. I've heard it for years on my iPod, and I said, this is very beautiful. So we'll read the translation, verse 23. So the stage is that Bhumasura has just been killed by the Lord, and his mother, Bhumi, is now approaching the Lord. The goddess of the earth then approached Lord Krishna and presented him with Aditi's earrings, which were made of glowing gold inlaid with shining jewels. She also gave him a Vajanti flower garland, Varuna's umbrella, and the peak of Mandara mountain. So Bhumasura had stolen all these from the demigods, and so now she is returning them all back to the Lord. Verse 24. O King, after bowing down to him and then standing with joined palms, the goddess, her mind filled with devotion, began to praise the Lord of the universe, whom the best of demigods worship. Verse 25. Goddess Bhumi said, obeisance is unto you, O Lord of the chief demigods, O holder of the conch shell, disc and club, O supreme soul within the heart. You assume your various forms to fulfill your devotees' desires. obeisances unto you. Two points which I thought I would just kind of touch upon in this verse. Actually, most of the times when their devotees are offering prayers to the Lord, they always, I came across many instances where they first glorify, and they actually mention that he is either son of Mother Yashoda or Devaki, like in Queen Kunti's prayer she mentions that, or here Bhumi is saying that you're holder of the conch shell, disc and lotus. So nobody can argue that which Krishna, which Lord we're talking about, the Lord who is holding the conch shell, disc, club and lotus. So, and one who fulfills your devotee's desires. So we can see that, like in Lord Narsimhadev's, when Lord Narsimhadev appeared, he fulfilled Prahlad Maharaj's desire. So like very small number of people, in this case maybe one or two people whose desires were fulfilled. When he appeared as Lord Ram, he lived in the palace most of his life, and then he went to the forest. So in the forest he met a few, like, you know, like Shabari or the monkeys who were his devotees. So he fulfilled their desires. But Krishna, as soon as he was born, he just made arrangements that he would leave the palace, he would leave and go in the village, and he was with so many devotees and so many, millions and millions, like it was described, so many gopis, gopas, who had desired to serve him in their previous lifetimes. They got their desires fulfilled. And that is Krishna's fulfilling his devotees' desires. And the other part about Krishna holding, or the forearm form of the Lord holding these various weapons, most likely Krishna is not holding these weapons. That's my thought, that because he's exhibiting his two-arm form. So Prabhupada actually points out that when Krishna is not holding these weapons in his hand, he's actually, they're all in the palms of his hand all the time. They are on his palms. And Mahaprabhu, in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, this is in Panicharitamrita Madhya 20, he actually gives a very detailed description of the placement of these items on the Lord's hands. And it's very technical, and for those of you who might be interested in this very interesting detail, the Mahaprabhu says, just hear from me as I tell you how these different Vishnu murtis hold their weapons. And actually, according to the Siddhartha Samhita, there are 24 Vishnu murtis, 24 forms of Lord Vishnu, and they are holding these weapons, beginning, to the way it's described, it's beginning with the disc. And the procedure, when you count, it's from the lower right hand to the upper right hand, to the upper left hand, to the lower left hand. So these Vishnu murtis, which the names of whom we have heard many times, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Keshava, Hari, Adokshaja, Vishnu also, Krishna, Upendra. So there are 24 of them. So if one is detail oriented, one can just see the Vishnu murtis appearing in front of you, and you could tell just by the placement of these different items, Shankh, Chakra, Gada, and Kamal, the conch, the disc, the lotus, and the club, that which Vishnu Murti you're looking at. And actually Mahaprabhu goes into great details for each of the Vishnu Murtis. He describes what is the placement of these items. So I thought it was very interesting. Alright, so this verse, today's verse, which is so sweet, the translation is by Srila Prabhupada, because it's from Canto 1, Chapter 8, and the purport by his disciples. So the translation, my respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Maybe we can repeat all together. My respectful obeisances are unto you, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flowers, and whose glance is as cool as the lotus, and whose feet are engraved with lotuses. Purport. Queen Kunti offered the same prayer which is found in first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, text 22. The synonyms and translation given here are taken from Srila Prabhupada's rendering of the text. We may also note that although Kunti's prayer occurs early in the Bhagavatam, she offered it many years after the incident described here. So, as we know, Krishna has not yet married the 16,100 princesses yet. The battle of Kurukshetra has not happened yet. Because this prayer actually happened right after the battle was over and Uttara had been had come running to the Lord because Ashwatthama had thrown the Brahmastra at her, and Maharaj Parikshit, who was in her womb, was about to be killed by this Brahmastra. Krishna protects the embryo, protects Maharaj Parikshit, and it's then that Kunti, who was so overwhelmed with gratitude, with love for Krishna, and as he was leaving to go back to Dwarka, she offered this prayer. So we can understand that this prayer was, since Bhumi has offered it, that this prayer was known by Kunti Devi. And even though in the prayers of Queen Kunti, she actually expresses herself to be very, she says, I'm a woman, I'm less intelligent, but we can see that she's very learned, and of course she's very, very advanced devotee, and she's offering these wonderful prayers to the Lord. And as, these prayers of Kunti have actually been published by the BBT in Teachings of Queen Kunti, which are based on Srila Prabhupada's purports and the lectures. Actually, there are 26 verses of Queen Kunti, the prayers of Queen Kunti, and Prabhupada, I was counting, I have a audio, the whole audio of Srila Prabhupada, the CDs, and there are 37 lectures on this section Prabhupada gave. So he really was very, he did a lot of stress on these teachings, and he really wanted us to know them very well. So this prayer is actually in the fifth chapter of the book, because it's the fifth verse. So each chapter is on one prayer of Queen Kunti. And this chapter is very aptly entitled, The Vision of Lotuses. Because we see there are so many lotuses. All of the Lord's body has been described as lotuses. Okay, Shiva Prabhu, can you put up this slideshow? So my son actually put together a slideshow of lotuses. So I thought you all can have this vision of lotuses while we are going through this class. So actually there are two more instances in the Bhagavatam that I came across where similar prayers have been offered. Namo Pankaja Nabhaya. And I'm sure there must be more, but I couldn't keep searching. So one of them, both of them are actually in Canto 4, and this is when the Prachetas were ordered by their father to go to the forest and to do austerities. So they came across Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva actually was in this, as they were walking and they came across this beautiful lake, actually there's a description of the lake, that there were different type of lotus flowers in this lake. Some of them were bluish, some of them were red, some of them grew at night, some in the day, and some, like the Indivara lotus flower, in the evening. Combined together, the lotus flowers filled the lake so full that the lake appeared to be a great mine of such flowers. Consequently, on the shores there were swans and cranes, chakravakas, karandavas, and other beautiful water birds standing about. So the Prachetas, who are the 10 sons of King Prachinabari, they saw this lake, and then Lord Shiva comes out of the water along with all his associates, and he instructs them on this prayer, which is a very long prayer, and he tells them to chant this prayer, offer it to the Lord, and they actually did it for 10,000 years. They were standing in the water and offering these prayers. So one of the prayers which Lord Shiva asked them to offer starts with Namaha Pankaja Nabhaya Bhuta Sukshmendriyatmani. This is Canto 4, chapter 24, verse 34. My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. So that was the one instance I came across. And then the Prachetas, after 10,000 years, they have darshan of the Lord. And they offer prayers to him. And one of the prayers they offer to him is so beautiful, and it's almost like this prayer, except that Pankaja has been replaced by Kamala. And Kamala, growing up, Kamal, the only name of lotus I knew was Kamal. So this verse is, Namaha Kamala Nabhaya, Namaha Kamala Maline, Namaha Kamala Padaya, Namaste Kamalekshana. This is verse, it's 428, I think. It's many chapters later, three chapters later, because there's a whole pastime of Puranjana, and only then we come back to this part of the Chetas. So the translation is, Dear Lord, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, because from your abdomen sprouts the lotus flower, the origin of all living entities. You are always decorated with the lotus garland, and your feet resemble the lotus flower with all its fragrance. Your eyes are also like the petals of a lotus flower. Therefore, we always offer our respectful obeisances unto you. And actually, in Lord Shiva's song, one of the verses also talks about the Lord's garments, which are compared to, like, they're flying in the wind, and it says they appear like flying saffron pollen in lotus flowers. Because the pollen is yellowish, the Lord's garments are yellowish, yellow, and it appears like it's pollen which is just flying around. So very, very beautiful prayers. Oh, what I was thinking was, why lotus? Why is the Lord compared to a lotus? So I was thinking maybe I can ask the esteemed audience if they can think of some ideas. Why is Krishna compared to a lotus? Does anybody have any suggestions? Yes, Radha Damodar Prabhu. Okay, thank you. Anybody else have any idea? Why lotus? Yes, Prabhu, Madan Mohan Prabhu. I mean, I'm not sure if there is one particular reason, so I thought I'll ask.
The one that I remembered was that sometimes the lotus, even though it grows in water or baby water, it doesn't get affected by it. It's always beautiful. Waters like that, Krishna, even though it seems to be in the material world, it's never touched by.
Never touched by. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, did you end up with?
Probably just because it's so pretty, it's so beautiful. And we try to compare the beauty of Krishna and another beauty of Krishna. There's only so many really pretty things in the world, and lotus flowers right up there.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Mother Nirmala? So many different colors and variegatedness. Yes, Krishna has so many forms and so many and such wonderful dealings. Mother Madhumati?
It's soft and yet it's sturdy.
Oh, yes, very nice. But it can be, it's in this dirty place, all the dirty, muddy water, and it's still so sturdy. Very sturdy. Yeah, very nice. Hare Krishna. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. So in the verse in Canto 1, the verse which Srila Prabhupada has commented upon, Prabhupada says that these specific marks on the spiritual body of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is what distinguishes his body from the bodies of all others. So they are very special features of the Lord, and even though he appears as a human, in a human form, he appears as one of us, but he's always distinct by these specific bodily features. And as we see, read the verse, we see that Kunti Devi says Namaha Pankaja Nabhaya first, which means she's looking at the Lord's abdomen. And then she goes to, she sees the garland, Pankaja Maline, then his eyes, and then his feet. So the etiquette is that we should see the Lord beginning from his lotus feet, and then rising up to the thighs, his waist, his chest, and his face. And Srila Prabhupada says we should not try to look at the face of Krishna without being accustomed to looking at his feet first. We should always look at the feet first. And actually, as I was reading this, thinking about how in this Western culture, it's actually encouraged that you look in the people's eyes before you, when you're talking to them, and it's considered rude, or also it's thought like you've got low self-esteem if you're looking down at somebody's feet, and that you look confident if you're looking into somebody's eyes. And we see that the Vedic culture is almost like opposite. We want to actually go to the feet, like when we're even talking to devotees, talking to, because we want to get the mercy, we want to see we want to actually a sign of humility that we are looking at the feet, and we slowly rise up. So as we are looking at the Lord, what I've found ever since I learned that one should look at the feet, that when I have darshan of the Lord, and when I actually look from feet onwards, that the Lord reveals, the beauty becomes more and more, and as soon as I see Krishna's smile, it's like so wonderful. The darshan seems to become very complete when I'm actually taking the time to go from his feet up. So that was one of the things which I wanted to just reinforce within me and share it with you, that looking at Krishna's feet is actually, and looking at the feet is an etiquette which we could follow, and it would increase our humility. And also within the devotees, in our interactions, to be more humble, we can, just by looking at the feet, like, you know, when we are looking at the devotees' feet, we can think of how they are so merciful. They're giving me their association by coming here, and I can actually see them. So when we look at their feet, we can actually appreciate our good fortune, my good fortune, that these devotees are here, and I can actually associate with them, interact with them, and increase my Krishna consciousness. So as I was thinking about this lotus vision and the vision of lotuses which we are seeing, so Srila Prabhupada actually says in one of his lectures on this verse that if one sees a lotus flower, one can immediately remember Krishna. So I was, I think I've mentioned this before here, that I was in one of Mother Lakshmimoni's teacher training class, and we had to make a presentation, a 40-minute presentation, and I chose my topic was on seeing Krishna everywhere. And I definitely did not put lotus flower in it, because it didn't come to me, because we don't see lotus flowers. We don't see lotus flowers around. And that's what actually inspired me to have this slideshow. As I said, you know, so we can, at least in our consciousness, we can think of lotuses, because in this Kali Yuga, I think they're all almost gone. Maybe when we go to Mayapur, we can see lotuses in the ponds, or I remember going to Mother Nanda's once, and she has a small little pond, and lotuses are growing there. And I think some devotees also, other devotees may have, because sometimes I've seen lotuses on the altar. So we see the lotuses, we immediately remember Krishna, or we think of lotuses and we can remember Krishna. Like Srila Prabhupada says that when a mother sees her child's toy or his clothes or his shoes, she immediately thinks of the child. And that is the symbol of, or it's the nature of love. So we are trying to be a loving servant, or are trying to reestablish our loving relationship with Krishna, so we can actually remember him always by thinking of these, of the lotus flowers, especially from today's verse. And Prabhupada says it's not difficult to remember Krishna. So, like Kunti Devi is describing Krishna with reference to lotus flowers. Also, when we drink water, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, raso aham apsu kaunteya. So when we drink any liquid, especially water, but any liquid, we can remember Krishna. Prabhupada used to say that, I tell the drunkards, when you drink your wine, think of Krishna. This is the taste of Krishna. He says it's got bad effect, but the liquid taste is Krishna. And he says, in this way, one day you will become saintly. One day this drunkard will actually become Krishna conscious. And I have actually heard of some devotees doing book distribution outside liquor stores, and they say they have much more success in distributing books outside liquor stores, because I think maybe they're not thinking straight or something, but they actually take the books and give nice donation. So because there is, everyone is a fit recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So why not the drunkards as well? So Prabhupada says, Krishna is available under any circumstances. Depends upon whether or not we want to catch him. If we want to catch Krishna, he's everywhere. And one is very serious in searching for Krishna, we can find him everywhere. So you know, like we said, we're walking on the floor and Krishna is in every atom. So Krishna is here. Krishna is everywhere. Wherever we have to have the vision and the intelligence. And the intelligence comes from Shravanam Kirtanam, like Mother Mukha was saying today about Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. We hear of this pastime, we hear of this, we can say, oh okay. So wherever I am, I can actually think of Krishna. Like I was sharing with the devotees, I think it was on Friday or Saturday, that my son was in some kind of simulated arrest, training for the Navy's special ops program, and he was in isolation, captivity for 2 days. He was in isolation for almost 2 days. And so he was saying to me that he chanted like almost 30 rounds, and he was remembering and praying to Krishna a lot. Because it was a lot of suffering. We saw him just this weekend, he's here, and he was saying it was really hard. Because for almost 43 hours they were not allowed to sleep, and the music or some songs or some words were blaring. So we can take shelter of Krishna, because we can see, Krishna, while I'm here, and I can somehow think of you. That's such a fortunate position to be in, that you can actually think of Krishna. And so because it's not difficult, we can see, because Krishna is in every atom, so whichever situation we are in, we can actually think of Krishna. So here Kunti Devi is giving us a great opportunity to, oh, that's a lotus garlands. Because in India they also sell lotus garlands like that. You know, you can go and buy it from the Phulwala. So she's giving us an opportunity to become Krishna conscious simply by concentrating our mind on Pankaja. Pankaja, actually Panka means mud and Ja means birth or generate. So generated from mud, it is, although it's generated from mud, Pankaja, it's very important, lotus flower, and as you all pointed out, why lotus? It's so soft, but it's very sturdy. It's so beautiful. It's like the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful items on this planet. So, and Krishna likes it very much. Krishna loves lotus flowers so much, so he holds it in his hand. One of the four items he's holding is a lotus flower. So, Kunti Devi is describing all parts of Krishna's body with reference to lotus flowers. So she says, Nama Pankaja Nabhaya. His navel is just like a lotus. So from Krishna's navel grew the lotus, the stem of the lotus upon which Lord Brahma was born. And Lord Brahma is the creator of this universe. And as we know, this universe has so many planets, so many seas, so many mountains. All of the buildings and the vehicles and all the other paraphernalia. But you can see all that came from that one lotus. So when we see all of the things happening around us, we can think of Krishna actually is the originator of all this. It began from that one lotus, the lotus stem which came off from his nabhi, from his abdomen. And then Namah Pankaja Malini. Malini means a garland. So there comes the wonderful lotus flower that contains the seed of this universe. And then Prabhupada says, is Krishna so poor that he can only have one lotus flower? No, there are many, many lotuses. And there will be a garland of flowers which is around Krishna, but that's actually the source of innumerable universes. There are so many universes which can be compared to a big garland of lotuses. So that's Krishna. He's unlimited, and in his creation, there are unlimited number of planets. So we can't count them, just like we can't count how many hairs we have on our head or how many leaves on a tree. But we are so much concerned with this one planet. We're thinking about the environment, what's going on, what we are doing to destroy this planet. Krishna has created unlimited planets, and he's concerned with unlimited number of these issues. And the next part is Krishna's. So Krishna's navel resembles a lotus. He's garlanded with lotuses, and his eyes are compared to petals of a lotus. So from Brahma Samhita verse, Alola Chandra Kala Sadvan Namalya Vamsi. So Krishna's eyes are, actually his glance is also called cooling as lotuses, his glances. And elsewhere in the Bhagavatam it's described that Krishna has a cheerful lotus-like countenance with ruddy eyes like interior of a lotus and a swarthy body like that of lotus flower with petals tinted blue and white. So ruddy eyes. I had to look up a dictionary. Who knows what is ruddy? What's the meaning of ruddy? Red, yes. Like blood red. So his eyes like the interior of a lotus, as we are looking at these pictures, some of them of the whorls are being shown. That red, those are the Krishna's eyes are in like that of the lotus. And swarthy, you might know what swarthy is. Yes, swarthy is dark skin. So skin like the lotus, which is blue and white. I know we have a few pet flowers here which are blue and white, and that is the color of Krishna, blue with the tint of white. That is what is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course many other places Krishna is described like the color of a rain cloud. And so somebody might say that, how can you say Krishna is black or Krishna has got this bluish, blackish color? You say it's from the scriptures. It's actually described in so many scriptures, in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam, many places, in the Brahma Samhita. Actually, in one place, I saw in Krishna book, the women of Mathura are watching the wrestling match and they're comparing Krishna's face. So they're saying, just see the lotus face of Krishna as he darts around his enemy. That face, covered with drops of perspiration, resembles a lotus covered with dew. Like Prabhu was saying, Radha Ramada Prabhu was saying about the lotus flower and the water doesn't stay on it, just rolls off. And actually I was chanting in the Pujari room, and I had to dress the ladies, and Mother Nita has this big collection of rows of lotuses, you know, like plastic or roses, and they have these drops of water on them. And they look so real. Just looking at them, it's like drops of water. So as I was looking and I was thinking of how the women of Mathura were seeing this perspiration on Krishna's face, because Krishna's face is like the lotus flower. And also elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, the nipples on the Lord's chest are compared to whorls of lotus flowers. How do you say it? Whorls? Whorls of lotus flowers. And Pankaja Angrahe, his lotus feet. His soles are imbued with lotus flowers, along with, you know, the flag, the thunderbolt, the barley corn, So the lotus feet, we are always talking of the lotus feet because it is described that the devotees cherish Krishna's feet within their hearts. And as we are looking at the deity, because Krishna has appeared so mercifully in the deity form, so that those of us who cannot see anything beyond material, so he appears in the form of marble or in wood or in mud. He appears in these different forms and we meditate upon those feet. That could be our most intense meditation. And in Canto 11 it's said that your lotus feet are just like a blazing fire that burns to ashes all the inauspicious desires for material sense gratification. So when as we have Acharnamrita in the morning, there is a prayer which was put up, I think it was put up last year sometime. And sometimes when I'm having Acharnamrita later in the day, not early in the morning when we come before Guru Puja, I see that prayer. So today I said, let me just read that translation, that when we have the Acharnamrita, we can say, having drunk the water from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, which destroys all diseases and takes away the chance of dying untimely, I hold the water on my head. So it's very potent. The water from the lotus feet of the Lord is very, very potent, and it helps us remember Him always. So if we simply think of this one verse, which describes Krishna's body with reference to the lotus flower, we can meditate our whole life on how Krishna is so beautiful and how wise He is, because the so many planets are being generated from Him, from the lotus stem which is coming out from His navel, and then how Krishna manifests His creation. So Prabhupada says this is meditation, thinking of Krishna. Satatam chintayanto mam, think of Krishna always, and yatantatascha dridavrata, with firm faith, we chant, we remember Krishna, hear and chant Hare Krishna mantra, and we can remember Him always. So we can repeat the verse again. Nama pankaja nabhaya, nama pankaja malini, nama pankaja netraya, namaste pankajangrahe. My respectful obeisances are unto You, O Lord, whose abdomen is marked with a depression like a lotus flower, who are always decorated with garlands of lotus flower, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, and whose feet are in great lotuses. Thank you so much for your kind attention. And if you have any questions or comments, try to answer. Yes, Prabhu. Haridev Prabhu.
I have a lotus story.
Lotus story, yeah.
Sometime back I was working at a job that was out in a rural part of Texas, and it was a very unlotus area. It was just kind of a rough part of the world. And one day I went across the street and there was a shop there and some acreage where they sold exotic fish like koi, things like that. They had these ponds that had these beautiful koi, but there was no lotuses. And I went up, I don't know what I was doing there, why, but I went to the front desk, and on the desk they were selling a magazine, a beautiful full-color magazine of the different things that they supply. And on the cover of the magazine was New Vrindavan with lotuses. There was a whole article in front of it, and an article inside about the lotuses of New Vrindavan. So I've lifted my day.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, actually, I didn't see a lotus flower in New Vrindavan. They're in the big kind of lake kind of place there. Oh, by the palace.
They cast some sort of pond of that cement. They went around the palace and there was water in them and there was lotuses.
Wow.
Selling for it.
Anyone else? Mother Madhumati?
I just recently heard that Henry Devi, she offers first to the navel and then goes down the feet. I think Sanatana Goswami comments that she offers obeisances to the lotus feet in the end, where she says the best for the last.
Nice. Thank you. Prabhupada actually says, so because she went from the nabhaya, from the navel, to his garland, to his face, and back to the feet. Prabhupada says, so it's in order that she did come back to the feet, because she wanted to see the feet first, but because she was the ant, she did not look at his feet because he would feel embarrassed, because Krishna, that his ant is looking at his feet. So, but she came back to the feet, and Prabhupada says, so that was in order. Anything else? Thank you so much. Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sri Mad Bhagavatam ki jai.